Turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Let me get warred up here. Get my gearing on me like a mule. Amen. Tell you what, I'm going to lose this coat right here. It's warm. It's been warmish, ain't it, lately? Not as bad this week, but is it my own? Break 1-9. Can you hear me all right? There we go. Green means go, don't it? All right. Or it did. Used to. You know, they'll probably have one of these days where it'll be discrimination if you say green means go and red means stop. That's probably where we're headed. Everything else is gone haywire. Amen. But Psalm 103. Now, before I even read this, well, let me read the first two verses, and then we're gonna go as far as we get. All right, that's what we'll do. We'll go as far as we get. We get it all okay. If we don't, just according to how the Lord leads. Psalm 103. Let's read the first two verses. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord God, You'd give me unction to preach, and Lord, You'd speak through these lips of clay. Lord God, I know there ain't nothing good in me, but I pray, Heavenly Father, You'd speak through me, and let me say what I need to say and leave off what I need to leave off. Lord God, we'll give You the glory, the honor, and the praise for everything that's done. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. Well, most of us have read that there is 31,175 verses in your Bible. And most of you have heard that Psalm 118:8 is the middle verse where it says it's better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in man. How many of you have heard that through the years? All right. The thing is, since they come out with computers, they's able to really count. And there's actually 31,102 verses in your King James Bible. But Psalm 118:8, the one everybody thought was the middle verse, for that to happen, there would have had to have been, for that to be the middle verse, it would have had to have been 31,175 would have been Psalm 104 and verse 16, and it would have said, "The trees of the Lord are full of sap." What would that mean? You know, "The trees of the Lord are full of sap." Well, we know that. Okay, but since they found this, they got their computers and they counted them and they studied this out and counted them all. Guess what? There's 31,102, so there can't be one middle verse because it's an even number, right? So there's got to be two middle verses. Guess what they are? The ones we just read right there. That's the middle verses in your Bible. Now, I didn't come up with this. I didn't have the computer and come up with all this. But I have got my Bibles out and counted the chapters just to make sure it's right. Counted the chapters in each book of the Bible, you know, tells you how many chapters in each book. It's right. Guess what? You count the words in these two verses. Guess what the middle words in your Bible are? Bless His holy name. I think that's pretty good. That's better than a treasure full of sap. Amen. Bless His holy name. If there's anything in the world that we as Christians ought to be doing, it's blessing His holy name. I preached Sunday on Psalm 86 where David said, "For great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." If there ain't nothing else we can praise God for, listen, we can praise Him that we are not in hell tonight. Amen. That I'm so thankful that I have been saved by the good grace of God. Amen. But I just want to look down through some of these verses here. But He mentions here, forget not all His benefits. Notice it says that. There's different things. A benefit is an act of kindness. A favor that's bestowed. An act of kindness. Boy, has God shown us acts of kindness and favor. I can just hear Brother Sammy, he'd get talking about, he'd get quoting this, and he'd go talking about benefits. He'd say, "How many of you women had to go down to the creek and wash your clothes today? Or once a week on Saturday or whenever, however they used to do it, Go down to the creek with a washboard and we didn't have to go high. Now, we get aggravated now if that thing gets out of and gets to shake in the house. The other day I heard something. I went, and this one we got now don't hardly ever do it, but it did it the other day. And it did it for about 2 or 3 minutes and then it evened itself up, We get aggravated about that. But I'm telling you, friend, we got it made. I mean, I didn't have to. I remember my mama's mama said that when she was raised there where Mom and Daddy live now, she was raised there and said she would go down to the branch of the spring. They would keep their milk in the spring so that it'd stay cold. Didn't none of us have to go down and get our milk out of the spring this morning, did we? To pour in our post toasties or whatever it was we eat. We didn't have to do that. Didn't have to do none of that stuff. It's just a benefit. It's a benefit that we was able to ride in nice vehicles, air conditioning, down here today. Ain't that a blessing? Air conditioning's tore up on my truck and I ain't been driving it. Been driving my Jeep, but I can take the doors off it, and that feels pretty good when you get to moving. But I don't want to go to Gainesville because you won't move much in Gainesville. But it's getting about as bad as Atlanta. But anyway, but there's all from verse 1 through 7. We'll just deal with it like this: verse 1 through 7. That there is physical benefit. By the way, verse number 1. The verse, not only is it the center verse, it's also the 1611th verse in the book of Psalms. 1611. I like that old 1611, don't y'all? Amen. Well, physical benefits. We're alive because of His power. Let's look at them down through here. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forgetting all of His benefits." Verse 2. Verse 3, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." He forgives us of sin. Listen, sin is what brought sickness. The reason we have problems, the reason we have, me and Will got in a good long discussion the other day, yesterday when we was hauling hay about spiders and what did the Lord, was the original purpose for them and what was, why now are they poisonous, and what about wasps and bees and things and why do they sting? Is that because of the curse or did that come out of the flood or how, we was thinking about a lot of things that we really don't know, but we was just wondering about these things. And, we know the curse brought a lot of that stuff, but also the fear of man. Animals didn't get that till out of the flood. And there's a whole lot in that we could dig into. But this curse that's come upon this earth that came because of sin and this body that we was talking about, our aches and pains there a little while ago. And the reason we got them that is because of sin, that sin that we're still living in this flesh, and because we're still in the flesh, we're still dealing with the effects of sin, and we will until we leave this old sin cursed body, or it's changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. But He said He forgiveth all thine iniquities. I'm so thankful to God that for His forgiveness. But then He goes on and says, who healeth all thy diseases. That just means sickness of body or of mind. I mean, there's all kind of diseases out there today. Seems like there's more than there's ever been. Everything from monkeypox to COVID-19 to everything in between. Amen. I hadn't caught monkeypox yet, but... I've been claimed, they think we're kin to them, so I reckon they think we're gonna get it. Amen? I don't know about all that. But I'm so thankful that He's still able. Listen, and by the way, I just believe this. I believe all healing comes from God. I don't care if He allows medicine to do it. That I don't care if He allows a doctor to be able to have the knowledge to do something. That I don't care if it's just because somebody calls the elders of church and they pray over them and the Lord touches them and heals them. However it's done, listen, this body itself, God made it this way. And it's God that heals us. The only way we ever get healed is through Him. It's the only way we ever get healed is through Him. He said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Goes right back to what I said about what David said. He said, thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. I mean, we ought to be in the hell with our back broke tonight. That's what we deserve. That's where we ought to be. Because of our nature, because of what we are and who we are, and because of the sins we've committed, we ought to be in hell. But I'm telling you, I'm so thankful I'm not, and I never will be. Hallelujah. If there's anything to rejoice about, if there's anything to bless the Lord about, it's the fact that we're not in hell and we have been redeemed from destruction. Hey, there's a crowd out yonder today. They're on their way. They're on that path that leads to destruction. And the only way they're ever going to get to God's heaven and not wind up in hell is to get on the narrow path that leads to everlasting life. Amen. I'm so thankful that's the only way, the only hope man has. And somebody said, people's always arguing about repentance. We're arguing about repentance. Why, goodness gracious, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. You're on a path that's leading to destruction, and you're going the wrong way. And you realize, man, I'm going the wrong way. I need to go yon way. Hey, man, I need to go that way. That's the wrong. I'm going the wrong direction. Well, you just turn around and go the other way. That's all I believe it is. I mean, my goodness, people argue about it and have debates about it and everything else. And why? It's the craziest thing I ever heard of. I mean, repent means just go the other way. I mean, change your mind, change your heart that produces something that makes you want to go the right way. Amen. I don't believe you can have saving faith without repentance. And I don't believe you can repent without saving faith. I believe they're two sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. And hey, there's a crowd going to destruction. But if you want to get right with God and you want to be saved and you want things to go the right way and you don't want to wind up in a place called hell, you got to repent. And thank God I repented when I believed and put my faith in Jesus. And because of that, I'm on my way to heaven tonight. Amen. Amen. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh boy, loving kindness. Boy, Psalm 51, how David starts that psalm out. It stirs me up. As you think about David, when David had messed up, David had really messed up. Really messed up. Messed up with Bathsheba. Turned around and had her husband killed. And here David is. He's the king. But thanks be to God, it was a man of God that came to where it was at. Pointed his finger in his face and said, "Thou art the man. You need to get right with God." And we know what David did? He fell down and said, "Have mercy upon me, O God. According to Thy tender mercies." He said, "Oh my, blot out my transgressions." But I didn't get that first verse right. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness." Same as this. "According unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." According unto the multitude. Think about this 1 minute, Brother Terry. Right, it's mercy. Right. But it's not just mercy. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Right. And we deserve hell. We ain't there. We've got mercy. Amen. The fact that God allows me to still be walking around, Brother Terry, it's just mercy. The fact God let me get up this morning was still His mercy. I didn't deserve all that. Amen. But He didn't give us what we deserve. That's mercy. But He didn't just say it's mercy. He said God has mercies. Plural. That means He's got all kinds of mercy. He's got mercy for anything I could name tonight, and I could go through a big long list of stuff. And you're probably thinking about things right now that God's had mercy on you about. And hey, just take it and bless His name for it. Amen? Because mercies, that is what He's pouring out every day. Hey, listen. He said mercies. And then He said, it's a multitude. David said, the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Multitude. That means there's mercies. There's all kind of mercies. But then there's just multitudes of them. Multitudes of tender mercies. And then He said, it wasn't just any kind of mercies. It was tender mercies. It's with love. Love is the one thing that's causing Him to give you that mercy. And all those mercies. That's what causes God to do what He does. Because of His love, because He loves us. He loves us, and He gives us tender mercies. But it's not just anybody's mercies. It's His tender mercies. My mercy, Brother Terry, will run out. My mercy will run out. I mean, I'll be as good as I can and do the best I can with people and help, try to help people. But there comes a point in time When my mercy is just going to run out. They break in my house, try to steal my stuff, my mercy's running out. They mess with my family, my mercy ends right there. And their mercy ends right there, where my 9mm begins. That's about the best way I know to put it. But I'm telling you, that's just the way it works. There's people in this world that have pushed me, and I don't think I'd have near as much compassion and as much mercy on them as I would some people, you know, because I know what they're capable of, and I know they're liable to do something crazy, and I'm careful about it, and I ain't gonna budge much on it. There's things that this world is trying to push on us that we don't need to have mercy about it. We've been mealy mouthed way too long. Amen. We've just let them run over us and run. Listen, no. We need to stand up and stand for what that book says and say, "I'm not going to budge. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change a thing." And I don't care what they throw at you, what they throw. Just stand. He said, when you've done all the stand, stand there for. Just stand. I mean, we're living, but our mercy will run out. But you know what? It's His tender mercies. Guess what? It never runs out. You know what? Matter of fact, you know what Lamentations says? They're new every morning. His mercies are renewed every day. Every day. In other words, okay, if His mercies could run out, it's mercies, and a whole bunch of them, and then there's multitudes of His mercies. And if it could run out, guess what? You get up in the morning, there's a big truckload of new ones. Every day. Every day. He just comes over with his great big dump truck, about the only way I know to think about it, and just dumps out a whole big bunch right there at the Wheeler House every day. And he does that at the pool house too, don't he, Brother Terry? Just dumps out a whole. Woo! Hallelujah! Hey, I need mercy every day that I live. That every day that I wake up, I need His mercy. That when I'm good, I need His mercy. That when I'm bad, I need His mercy. That when I ain't right with Him and I ain't praying like I ought to, I need His mercy. When I am praying like I ought to, I need His mercy. That it don't matter what I'm doing, that I need the mercy of God. But I'm so thankful tonight we can rejoice and we can say, "Bless the Lord." That hey, because of His mercy, hallelujah. Glory to God. I think I may just found my direction right here. Because I think, oh yes, oh yes. Well, guess what? We'll just stay with this thing about mercy right here one second. Look right here in verse number 8. We got the quality of mercy there in verse 4. It's love. There's loving kindness and tender mercy. That's the quality of it. And look down here in verse number 8. Here's the measure of mercy. He said, "The Lord's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." Oh my. In verse 8, notice this. The Lord's merciful. In other words, His mercy has spared us. Then He's gracious. His blood has washed us. Amen. And then it says, He's slow to anger. His kindness has kept us. What about this? He said He's plenteous in mercy. His pity has preserved us. I tell you what, friend, this thing about mercy, I'm so thankful for His mercy. If there's ever anything in the world we ought to praise Him for, it's the mercy of God that He's had on us. That, listen, He's had mercy on our country. I look back there and I see that flag I see this back here and I'm thinking about our country and what a mess it's in. That, boy, if there's ever been one God has been merciful to, it's this one right here. That we don't deserve it. We've been killing babies since 1973. And I'm telling you, friend, listen, God's not going to overlook it. But thank God He has been merciful to us. He's been merciful to us. How in the world He puts up with us, I do not understand. Oh my, let me give you this sudden about mercy right here. There's the duration of mercy. Oh my. Verse 17, look at verse 17. "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting." If you can measure the east from the west, then you can figure out how far it is from everlasting to everlasting. But you can't figure it out. You don't know how far it is. It's in other words, as far as I can go that way. I mean, I can just keep going and keep going and keep going. And as far as I can go, I'll never, 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 no, never even come close to getting to the end of the mercy of God. But then if I turn around and go that way, it don't matter if I had the fastest thing on the planet. It don't matter if I had a supersonic jet. It wouldn't matter if I had a rocket ship. There's nowhere I could go. There's no direction I could go. There's nothing I could do that would cause me to run out of the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm thankful for that today. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh my, we talked about His physical benefits, verse 1 through 7 here. I ain't going to get to all of them. But boy, I like what He says down here. Verse 5, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Do you know that every minute, 3 billion cells in your body dies and are immediately replaced? It's a scientific fact. And God said, it's renewed like the eagles. You know, that old eagle goes through that molting process and beats his beak off, and the feathers come. You ever seen a chicken molting? You know what I'm talking about. Feathers come out, and they won't lay, they won't do nothing. Ain't no good for nothing. but then they're renewed. Then they're renewed. Them old feathers starts growing back, and they look ugly, and they look rough. And that old beak's going, boy, but after a while, they're renewed. And our body does that just on a constant basis. And God talked about it in His Word. I mean, that's a benefit that we have right there. Every day. Every day. Every morning we wake up. But benefit. The Lord executes righteous judgment for all that are oppressed. Thank God for that. He made known His ways. In other words, His methods unto Moses. His acts or His exertion of power unto the children of Israel. Oh my, the Lord's merciful and gracious. We done mentioned, talked about verse 8. Verse 8 through 18, he's talking about spiritual benefits. That's what he's talking about. And not only are we alive because of His power, but we're awakened because of His pity. Look, he goes on down to verse 9, he will not always chide. That just means to scold with words of anger. And hey, have you ever been, the Lord ever took you around behind the woodshed? Hey, thank God He has. But you know what? It don't last long. You ever notice that? He'll do it and get it over with and it's done. I always thought when we was, I didn't like to send the kids and make them, you know, after you whoop them and you act like they ain't, you know, they need to go whatever and sit and soak and sour whatever. No, you just need to let them get over it right then. Once it's over, it's over. And I think that works. I think that's what the Lord does. I mean, that's the way He is with me. I mean, He's whooped me and I've been took out behind the woodshed and thank God for it. But I tell you what, He won't always be. It's not always that way. That'll be over after a while and He'll bless us again. Amen. He'll bless us again. He said, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us. I love verse 10. Oh, I love verse 10. It's one of my favorite verses. Psalm 66, 20 is my favorite right now, but this is my second favorite, I guess. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, or according to the direction or influence of our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. God has not given us what we deserve because of what we've done. There's just no way around it. Hey, we've never got what we deserved. Never had. Why? Because of His mercy. His mercy keeps showing up. Every time we turn around, we bump into the mercy of God. Everywhere we look, everywhere we go, every time we turn around, and we're bumping into the mercy of God. That's why. Hey, He's not dealt with us after our sin. He's not. Now, He may have whooped us, He may have whatever, but not according to what we deserved. Amen. Well, He said, for as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear. If you can just measure, I ain't talking about the first heaven. That's the atmosphere. I ain't talking about the second heaven. That's what you can see. With the biggest telescope that there is ever, as far as you can see, hey, I've seen some of the pictures that they had in that Hubble telescope. It's been the furthest away from the earth of anything ever had. And took pictures in the other direction from earth. And I mean, it was just stars and stars and pictures and stars. And I'm thinking, man, it's a long ways up yonder to where the Lord's at. That third heaven, I don't believe we can even. Them northern lights might be just a little bit of the lights of home every now and then. Amen. First time me and Will went to Alaska, they said if you look over to your right, out the window, you that are in the seats on the right hand side, look out and you can see the northern lights. And often wondered if that wasn't the light, some of the lights of home just shining through every now and then. Amen. I've not got to see them out on the snow. That's one thing I want to see one of these days in Alaska, just go up there and out on the snow and see them northern lights. But I don't know how far it is up yonder. And we can't measure it. Best man can do has been out yonder at Hubble Telescope. That's the best man can do to get it out there as far as he can. He ain't got very far compared to what God's made. I mean, it ain't nothing compared to what God's made. We ain't even covered a speck of what God's made. He said, if you can measure how far heaven is, then you can measure my mercy. Amen. You can't measure it. Far as east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. We've heard that. And I'm telling you, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are but dust. Thank God He remembers we're just dust. As for man, his days are as grass, flower of the field, he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. I'm probably reaping the benefits. I know I am. I'm reaping the benefits, Brother Terry, of things my papa did. And his daddy. And his daddy before him. And I want to say this to my kids. You got a heritage. You got a heritage. You need to remember that in your life. Just remember. Far back as I know, that's saved. Far back as I know, that's living for the Lord. On just every side that I know of, on my side, and Joy's side, I know, man, it was that way on her side. Y'all got a goodly heritage. You need to remember that. If you ever start to go out and do something that ain't right, you just remember, I'm going against everything that my family's taught me. I'm going against everything the church has taught me. I'm going against everything that my heritage has taught me. Just remember that. You'll go against everybody. You'll go against the prayers of your mom and daddy. You'll go against the prayers of, man, I'm telling you, you need to be careful. But there's a whole lot that right there kept me out of, Brother Terry. There was a whole lot I didn't want my papa to. I didn't want him to hear that I'd done something bad, something wrong. And I didn't want my mom and daddy to be disappointed. I didn't want my papa's and nannies to be disappointed. Man, they was good people. And I didn't want to be the one to earn the name. Amen. There's a whole lot of things I didn't do because of that reason. Kept me out of a lot of trouble. I did plenty. Amen. I did plenty that wasn't right. But what I'm saying is it kept me out of a whole lot. Amen. Oh my. Well, under His chin, oh my. To such as keep His covenant and those that remember His commandments to do them. Verse 19 through 22, you got celestial benefits. Now, this is some interesting stuff here. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. The Lord God that saved us. That matter of fact, when I got saved, He moved inside of me. Is the same God that's seated on a throne in heaven. Listen, John said He was caught up. He said He heard a voice say, come up hither. And He was caught up into heaven. And he said He saw a throne. And I love the way, woo, I love the way it says it. He said He saw a throne and one sat on the throne. That's the one I'm interested in today. Amen. The one that sits on the throne. That when I get to heaven, I want to see all my loved ones and do all those things that we've talked about and we've thought about heaven. Hey, but one main thing I want to do is make a beeline for the throne and see the one that loved me and gave himself for me and praise his holy name. I want to give him glory and praise. And I'm going to go ahead and start down here because he told us to. Amen. David's telling us to in this psalm. He said we ought to just bless the Lord. We just ought to bless the Lord for His mercy. We just ought to bless the Lord for His grace. We ought to bless the Lord that He's sitting on the throne in heaven. Hey, guess what He's doing up there? He's making intercession for us. I like the way David says it a lot of times, Brother Terry. He said He inclines His ear. He inclines. In other words, He goes, if He thinks we're going to talk to Him, I believe He goes, and when we don't, I think He's going, sure would like to hear from you today. Sure would like to talk to you today. Sure would like you to come spend some time with me today. How long has it been since you just put up everything and just laid aside everything and just spent some time with the Lord? Amen. That's a blessing. It's a blessing. My. But he said, see, it talks about from His majesty there in verse 19. He's got a throne and He's in the heavens. And then benefits from His majesty. Then we got Him through His ministers. Look in verse 20 and 21. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening to the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. He's talking about them angels. You ever thought about it? He said their ministry, New Testament tells us they're ministering spirits. And they're sent down here to help us. And to protect us. You say, well, I don't know about all that angel business and all that stuff. You better know about it. Bible said, Hebrews said, there's many have entertained angels unawares. They ain't no telling how many times. This story just popped in my mind. I can't help but believe. And people in that day thought that this was true. There was a man that was one of my daddy's best friends. Ran into, I don't know which one hit who, I don't know how it happened. But he was in a big truck, and she was in a car, and she had a bunch of her kids with her. It was my mama's aunt. And they hit some of them curves between Wahoo and Pierce's store back down through there, some of them deepest curves in there. They ran into one another and it turned her car off over in the creek over there. And a little branch there. And they said that car was leaking and everything and they was afraid it was going to catch on fire. And so there's this feller come along, this big old tall feller. And said he just got out of the car and walked straight down there and never said nothing to nobody. And picked that car up and set it back. People there. Maybe all kinds of witnesses saw it. It ain't like it's some fairy tale. Turned it all back over. Back in the road. Went and got in his vehicle and left. And these people to this day, they'll tell you they believe that was an angel. I couldn't say for sure neither way. I wasn't there, but I wouldn't matter if I'd been there or not. I couldn't tell. But I ain't no telling how many times. Man, I've traveled all over this country. And I ain't no telling how many times, Brother Terry, that I've been within. Every time you meet somebody in the highway, you're within a couple of feet of catastrophe. You know that, don't you? They was right there in front of where you come out of the road to my house, right there, where all them roads come together. Henry Smith Road and Homer White Road and Post White Hill Road comes into 52 right there. There's a crash there yesterday and two hit head on right there yesterday. There ain't no telling how many times that I've been going down the road.
And the Lord, and boy, somebody was fixing to hit me, and the Lord just sent an angel and just pushed that thing out of the way just enough for me to miss them or whatever. There ain't no telling how many times. Listen, they've been some nut out there somewhere that was fixing to kill a whole bunch of people. I mean, like with some of these we've seen, maybe even had a gun ready. I mean, I've stopped at all kinds of places in the middle of the night and that really was rough areas. You know what I'm talking about. And ain't no telling how many times somebody was fixing to do something crazy and the Lord just stopped them. There ain't no telling. I'm telling you, them angels the Lord's got's powerful. You know, old Hezekiah prayed over there. Old Sennacherib come, sent Rabshakeh over there with that letter and told him, said, don't you think your God's going to protect you? Because ain't none of the other gods from none of the other nations that's protected them. Ain't none of them that's been able to withstand him. We're going to come in and take you over. Ain't nothing you can do about it. And old Hezekiah just took that letter. He went up to the house of the Lord, Brother Terry. He went down there and he laid that thing up. And he said, all right, Lord, here's what he said. Here's what he says he's going to do. I don't want to have to fool with it. You deal with it. That's pretty much what he said. I can't do anything about it. Most of the prayers I pray, nothing I can do about. The Lord has to do it. If anything gets done, it has to be Him that does it. But that's what old Hezekiah did. He laid that thing down. I think my favorite thing Hezekiah ever done in the Bible was when he took that letter. Man, I've wrote down a few times, the devil, I know you have. You're a preacher. I know you have. You ever had to get right up in here and say, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to happen. You've prayed about that and that ain't going to happen. I don't care how many times you pray about it, it ain't going to happen. And just tell you all kind of things and tell you how sorry and low down you are. You know how. I mean, I'm sorry and low down I am. But the devil don't have to tell me. But he'll do that every now and then just to try to get you lower and get you lower and get you lower. And he'll tell you all kind of things. Well, you ought to just every now and then when he gets you down like that, just get you out a piece of paper and just write down everything the devil's telling you. Just go ahead and write it on a piece of paper and take it to the Lord in prayer and lay it down and say, Lord, there it is. That's what he said. How would you just take that and just do whatever you want to with it? It'll help you because I've done it before. Amen. And I tell you, that night, God sent one angel. Just one. He didn't need no more. There wasn't but 185,000 of them. He didn't need but one angel. And that angel killed 185,000. That when they woke up the next morning and the watchman on the wall said, hey, y'all come here and look at this. Said, what in the world went on? They go up out of the top of the wall and out there of that whole army that's been compassing them about said, hey, there they are dead. Just a bunch of dead corpses out there. What about think about all that food that they got out there. Them people was eating. And them inside that city wasn't eating. I bet they went there and got them something to eat. I guarantee you they did. They're hungry. Them dead people ain't going to need it. Let's get it. Amen. How many times has angels protected us and helped us? There's no telling. There's no telling. There's been a few times, Brother Terry, and I mean, I can count them on my fingers, that I've been praying over in them woods. And it'd be surreal that I catch myself kind of looking, opening my eyes, looking around, kind of see if I could see one. Because I guarantee you there's around. I guarantee that. I'll tell you something that happened to my papa one time. You know that house on the right before you get to Wahoo, on the right. That old house there. At that time, it was an old man named George Adams that was living there. Mr. Adams, Papa was just pastor at the time. Papa pastored Wahoo there in the late 50s, early 60s. Him and Guy Lee co-pastored at one time. It got so big there, things was going on. It took two of them to get it done. And they was just going out and visit and everything. And Papa was out visiting this feller.
he went in there to see him, and he said, "The fellow's sitting up in the chair, just rocking in his rocking chair." And he told Papa, he said, "Well, Marvin," said, "today's my day." He said, "For what?" He said, "To leave this world." He said, "I'm leaving today." He said, "Oh," he said, "you just may be feeling a little bad or something. You'll be all right. Everything's going to be okay." And he said, "Dad," he said, "no, I'm serious about it. I'm not depressed. I'm not nothing like that. I'm just telling you, the Lord's told me today's my day. I'm just waiting." And Papa said it wasn't just a little bit. Said that fella said, "Marvin, can you see him?" He said, "See what?" He said, "Them angels." Said, "They're all around. They've come to get me." He's sitting there rocking. He wasn't on no medication. He wasn't on no morphine. He wasn't on no nothing else. He's sitting there in his rocking chair, rocking. And he said, "There's angels, and they've come to see. They've come to get me." Papa said, "I couldn't see them, but I sure could feel something that was going on in that room." And he said, "That old man just closed his eyes." And so that rocking chair was still rocking when he died. Them angels came after him and took him. Thank God that God loves us enough. He don't just give us physical benefits and spiritual benefits. He gives us celestial benefits. He sends us messengers from heaven to help us and protect us. It's to all men. Verse 22a, he said, "Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion." All places of His dominion. We ought to bless the Lord no matter where we go. Wherever we're at, we ought to bless the Lord. Amen. Boy, it'd help us. An attitude of gratefulness, an attitude of just being grateful. Man, we need it, don't we? I need it. I tell you, I need it. I just need to be grateful and be thankful. Thankfulness to the Lord. Being thankful. And then, them celestial benefits to me. He said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." My soul. Boy, He's been good to us. And me. Me personally. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. I can't say it enough. I'm just so thankful that I'm not in hell. He said, "I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore, for great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." Ain't but two times in your Bible, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you what, somebody come play piano just a little bit, might give opportunity for an invitation. Somebody might want to come pray and just come thank the Lord a little bit. It sure wouldn't hurt us none just to get on our knees and thank the Lord just for His benefits that He shows toward us. That lowest hell our David talked about in Psalm 86, that lowest hell is only in your Bible twice, those words, lowest hell. The other time is the first mention of the word hell. First mention of the word hell is Deuteronomy 32:22. And it says, "A fire," God speaking, "a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn under the lowest hell." I mean, that's a pretty negative thing, ain't it? That's pretty negative. God said, "I'm so mad, there's a fire burning in mine anger." And He said, that's what hell's made out of. And He said, the lowest hell. Did you ever think about this? There's degrees. I believe there's degrees. I think Matthew 11 explains that. Listen, he mentioned it over there. He said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, and all them cities." And He said, He upbraided those cities. And He said, "If the mighty works that were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they'd have repented a long time ago." He said, "It's going to be worse for you in the day of judgment than it was for them." He said, he talked, I believe it was Capernaum. He said, If Sodom and Gomorrah had seen the things that's done in you, they'd have repented in dust and ashes. Sodom and Gomorrah. That's Washington and L.A., New York, Miami, Houston. I mean, that's pretty much Sodom and Gomorrah these days. Amen? All these major cities. Might as well say Atlanta. Amen? Just wickedness everywhere. God said, God, listen, can I say this? America's got a whole lot more to give an account for than even those cities. Why? Because America was founded on this, and we turned away from this. That's why we are going to suffer greater, as a nation, going to suffer greater judgment than Capernaum did. Listen, it wasn't just a few years. Titus came in, destroyed Jerusalem, did all that, and the Jews have been scattered ever since. You think God's going to overlook everything we've done in this nation? You think God is overlooking Pride Month? No way, Jose. God looks down on it in disgust. A preacher friend of mine sent me a thing the other day. He was weeping. He'd went downtown in Rome. He's pastors in Rome, Pastor Rome Baptist Temple, where Brother Goosby used to be. Brother Chris Hanks. I don't know if you know Brother Chris. Brother Dean McNeese's brother-in-law. And Brother Chris had went downtown, and he couldn't hardly talk for weeping. He went down there and he saw that Pride March they was having. He said, I didn't go down there to preach. But he said, I got so tore up and I got to weeping. And he said, I couldn't help it. He said, I just went to preaching on the sidewalk. And he said, they cussed me. They done everything they could to me to try. He said, they done everything but hit me and kick me. He said, they done everything they could. But he said, all I could do is sit there and weep. Cry. This nation is in a mess. But we're still reaping the benefits of them old timers. Oh, that old fuddy-duddy crowd everybody made fun of. We're still reaping the benefits of them. Amen. We're still reaping the benefits of all that crowd. I believe that with all my heart. Now, but I believe that generation that keeps passing off the scene, it just seems like they just keep passing off the scene. I think every time one of them pipes off the scene, God's just lifting His hand of mercy off of just a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. As far as a nation. But as far as individuals, God's still going to have the same amount of mercy for every one of us that are saved as He's ever had. He's going to give us more. And He's going to give us more. He's going to give us a lot of grace. Because we're going to need a lot of grace. Because if He don't come back pretty soon, we're going to need a whole lot of grace. Whole lot of grace. We're going to need a whole lot of grace to make it. We may have to stand before the councils one of these days. Me or you, Brother Terry, we may have to stand before, because of something we preached or something we won't budge on. Some sodomite, a lot of other words I was thinking of, comes in here wanting to marry, and you say no, and they take you to the Supreme Court with it. Amen? It could happen to any of us. We need all the mercy and all the grace we can get. We ought to be we'll be thankful for what He's already given us. I believe He's going to give us more.